So I've got something exciting to share. My book, What Are You Thirsty For? Rethinking Alcohol and the Life You Want, is now available for pre-order. It's about rethinking your drinking, not because you necessarily have to, but because deep down you know there's more waiting on the other side. It's about creating space for clarity, for calm, and the version of you that doesn't need alcohol to cope. So if you're looking for a refreshing take on alcohol identity and desire, just tap the link in the show notes and pre-order. Right, let's get on with the episode. Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink, the podcast for anyone questioning their relationship with alcohol or simply wondering what more life might hold. I'm Anna Donaghy, alcohol mindset coach, author, and former strategist. And each episode is going to blend lived experience, psychological insight, and powerful tools to help you understand your habits and gently rethink your drinking in a way that throws open oodles of possibilities. So whether you're trying to quit, cut down, or you're just plain curious, then you are in the right place. Let's rethink things together and explore what you're really thirsty for. All right, hello and welcome to the Big Drink Rethink. It's so nice to have you here. So in the last episode, I talked about what it means to feel truly awake in our own lives, not just drifting along, not just existing, but noticing and choosing and being here for it. And if that's the bigger picture, then today's theme is one of the most powerful ways we can really begin to wake up again. So it's the theme of reconnection. Back to life, reconnection back to ourselves, reconnection back to what matters, okay? Because after a summer of stretching out, letting go of holidays and abandonment and maybe a different set of rules, a loosening of intentions and routines, there's something really grounding about this time of year. I'm recording this at the beginning of autumn. I love autumn. It kind of invites us to gather ourselves a little bit, to reflect. As I said, I love it. For me, it's the best season of the year. It's the one with the most dramatic cues of change. And it makes me take stock. It was about this time of year, a number of years ago now, that I decided I really did have to sort of grapple my own drinking to the ground and take charge. And I wanted to do so before the next festive season kicked in. I noticed I was very, very frayed at the edges after yet another big summer. And I know this happens a lot, you know, summer holidays, school holidays, back to school, digging deep. You know, we're sort of beginning to think we have to dig deep for the run into Christmas. God, it's only September and I've mentioned the C word, but it's true. It's true. This is the perfect time of year to start listening to ourselves and start thinking, you know, how do I want to end this year? How do I want to begin next year? What needs my attention? And this, in many ways, is what, you know, this episode is all about. The gentle but powerful act, and I'm going to say something a bit wanky here, but I call it, you know, a powerful act of coming home to yourself. Now, let me explain that term. Because as I said, it sounds very, very pretentious. But for me, it means returning to the part of you that's always been there, but it's hidden. It's underneath the noise. It's underneath the roles. It's underneath the expectations. It's hidden by coping strategies. Because here's the thing. When we spend years, literally years, trying to hold everything together, trying to be what's expected of us, trying to stay strong, trying to look strong, stay cheerful, stay in control, we kind of build up this type of armor. And alcohol becomes a big part of that. We use it to kind of deflect the hard parts of life, you know, and to keep going and to kind of escape the comfort. But over time, it becomes more than just a sort of a barrier to the outside world. It becomes a bit of a filter between us and our true selves. So, you know, we don't mean to lose ourselves. We're just trying to get through, just trying to survive. But bit by bit, the connection phrase, and we stop noticing what we really feel. And when we stop noticing what we're really feeling, we lose sight of what we really want and what we really need. We forget to tune in to a really wonderful, deep, instinctive part of us that does know what we need. You know, that part that says, oh, this isn't right for me, or I'm tired, or, you know, something has to change here, something feels off. But we forget to tune in. So when I say coming home to yourself, pretentious as it sounds, I just mean peeling back those layers. Okay, it's the first step towards feeling awake and remembering that there is a you beneath the coping. Not the version of you that drinks to take the edge off, not the version of you who's performing or pushing through, but the version that is whole and intuitive and actually deeply wise, really, really wise, even if she or he have been a bit quiet for a while. So this is not about becoming someone new. This is really, really important, okay? So often people say to me, but I don't know who I am without the booze, or I don't know who I'll become. And I don't actually think it's about that. I think it's about remembering who you were before the world told you who to be, before you perhaps morphed into someone you thought you should be, away from your natural self. Perhaps you made your inner voice and your inner desires quiet. You made them small or more subservient before you learnt to people please. Oh my God, that's a big one. Before you learnt to people please, before you felt you needed to perform and to perfect. Okay, so again, coming home to yourself is recognizing your own needs again, hearing your own voice beneath the opinion of others, trusting your gut, even when it's inconvenient. It is the moment that you stop outsourcing your worth and your decisions and your comfort and start turning inward for guidance. Because our bodies are constantly speaking to us, right? Through tension, gut feelings, craving, exhaustion, goosebumps, even that knot in the stomach before a hard conversation. These sensations are messages, they're signals, they're cues, they're clues. They're how our nervous system and our intuition and our emotional memory guide us. But alcohol interferes with that internal messaging system. Biochemically, it actually dampens activity in the central nervous system. It lowers cortisol and temporarily disrupts the amygdala, which processes fear and emotional salience. So it numbs our stress response. And that can feel good. That can feel good, okay? But at the same time, it flattens our ability to feel fully. So what gets dulled isn't just the pain or anxiety, it's everything, including our intuition, that sort of quiet inner knowing, that subtle sense that something isn't right or something is right, but we're ignoring it. So when we drink, we kind of override the body's natural signals, and we might stay in a conversation that feels off or a relationship that feels off. We might push through exhaustion instead of resting, or numb loneliness. This is a big one. We numb loneliness instead of tending to our need for connection. And dangerously as well, we can ignore the early warning signs of burnout or misalignment with our values, or just general discontent. And over time, that override becomes habit, and the more we ignore these signals, the harder they become to recognize. It's like turning the volume down on your internal compass until one day you can't hear it at all. So whilst we turn to alcohol to, you know, we say and don't mean, you know, smooth the edges, what it really is doing is disconnecting us. It cuts the line between us and the emotional messages we're meant to receive. And as a very, very, very wise Gabor Mate writes, you know, the attempt to escape from pain is really what creates more pain. So that drinking to take the edges off is dulling our clarity, flattening our joy, and numbing the wisdom that lives in our bodies. So we never learn the language of our feelings if we're constantly suppressing them. And then we, unfortunately, can lose touch with how to read them at all. When we drink to manage our emotions in this way, unfortunately, we don't just disrupt our messages, you know, our feelings. We don't just disrupt them. We interrupt our growth, okay? Because emotions are not inconveniences. They are very clear messages. You know, that sadness could be saying, slow down. That anger could well be saying, oi, you know, your boundary is being crossed. Do something about it. And that anxiety could be saying, you know, you need support in this area, or clarity with regards to this thing that you're uncertain about. But again, when we numb these things, we lose our way. So we don't seek the things we need, such that we then take those things on board and approach life differently next time. That's what I mean by interrupting our growth. So we're stealing the opportunities for us to get better at stuff in different ways, okay? So this is a great time of year to have a look at all of that. Autumn reminds us of a very clear message, actually, that, you know, these things take a bit of time. Transitions don't happen in a day. Leaves don't drop all at once. The temperatures aren't going to plummet overnight. Change happens gradually. That is nature's way. And reconnection works like that too. You know, you're not going to wake up one morning suddenly reconnected. But you can start with intention, you know, with reflection and with small acts of honesty. So to help explore and consider this, let's think about five areas where I witness disconnection happening most often in others, in people I coach, but also that I felt so much in myself. You know, I know from sad experience that it happens so gradually that we don't notice it until we feel really flat and foggy and off track, and yes, ultimately disconnected. So here are those five ways where I witness disconnection happening most, all right? The first is from ourselves, disconnection from ourselves. We lose touch with that inner voice beneath the noise of busy lives and external expectations. We stop asking, what do I want? What do I need? And instead, we just move through the motions, performing versions of ourselves that please others. Or, this is a very common one, just keep the peace, okay? A version of ourselves that just keeps the peace. Reconnecting here can be as simple as beginning each morning with the question, you know, what do I need today? It might be rest, it might be movement, it might be stillness, it might be space, it might be connection, it might be support. But even just 5 minutes of checking in can sort of shift your sense of agency. So, you know, some people find it's really helpful just to jot down a few lines, you know, at the end of the day as well, that says, today I felt most like myself when ... Okay, so reconnecting to yourself, what do I need today? What are my needs? What are my wants? And then at the end of the day, checking in again and saying, okay, I felt most in touch with myself today when I did these things. And it's a sort of full circle in the day, roundup, reflection, all right? The other way in which you can feel really disconnected is from our own bodies. Now, we swan through life overriding the signals that say things like rest, please, or pause, please, or, you know, move or breathe more intentionally. We use alcohol to mask stress. We use alcohol to soothe tension. And sometimes we, you know, we use alcohol just for the fortitude to keep going, even when our bodies are crying out for care. So reconnection to our bodies can start with noticing how do I feel? You know, how do I feel today? Where in my body do I feel tension? And very specifically in the moment as well, how do I feel before, during, and after a drink? Or, you know, even when you think about drinking, where's that coming from in your body? What part of your body is talking to you and sending you that signal? And are you using alcohol to ignore fatigue or hunger or discomfort or tension? So again, just simply pausing to ask, you know, what is my body asking for right now, can simply be transformative. Now, the third area in which I really frequently notice disconnection is when we disconnect from our values. This is a big one. This is a big one for me. Oh, gosh, I was very, very disconnected from my values by the time I took hold of my drinking. I felt very disorientated by life. I didn't know where I was going. And it's because I had started making choices from a place of convenience or fear rather than integrity. So we can start saying yes when we mean no. We prioritize what looks good from the outside over what feels good on the inside. And reconnecting here means reflecting, for example, on, you know, are my daily choices aligned with what I say matters to me? Do I even know what matters to me? Could I sit down and list out the 3 or 4 or 5 values which really matter to me in life? You know, the values by which I want to try and live my life. Could I even do that such that I could pinpoint if my daily activities are aligned to what matters to me? Okay, values aren't what we claim. They're what we embody. So writing down your top 3 and gently checking in at the end of the week and thinking, you know, did I honor them or have I drifted from them? That can bring real clarity, real moments of clarity. Okay. The other area where we can feel really disconnected is from our relationships. Okay. We can fall into autopilot even in our closest connections, or we can stay at surface level because alcohol can create the illusion of bonding whilst keeping real intimacy at arm's length. So reconnecting here might look like being fully present with someone you love over a walk or a coffee or a phone call without distraction, and letting yourself be seen without any level of performance, okay, without this armor, all right? And then finally, this fifth area is disconnection from the world around us. You know, we can literally check out because ultimately we're trying to numb. And I get it. You know, we can feel overwhelmed by the news. We can feel like our own sense of purpose is dimmed. We can disconnect from the wider meaning that can give life its depth. And, you know, reconnection here, by the way, because all that sounds very, very dramatic, but reconnection here doesn't have to be grand or overly dramatic. Sometimes it's, you know, as small as doing something for 10 minutes a day that contributes in a way that matters to you. It doesn't have to be the big, you know, what's my life's meaning? It could just be, what could I do that is meaningful to me for the next 10, 15 minutes? And then again, you know, checking in at the end of the day and saying, what moved me today? What made me feel, you know, part of something today? What did I do that was meaningful and that I'd like to do a little bit more of tomorrow? And that can really just help shift your perspective. So through all of these things, I hope you can see, you know, reconnection doesn't require perfection. It just requires attention. And these small practical shifts are how we can begin to realign and remember that we are allowed to belong to ourselves. It can so often feel like we belong to everybody else and everyone else has a little piece of us. Well, we're allowed to belong to ourselves. And this is how we can begin that process. It's not always comfortable, but it's not selfish. It does require presence. It requires patience. And it requires honesty. But the truth is, when we stop outsourcing our feelings to alcohol, we start hearing the wisdom that we forgot we had. We begin to trust ourselves again. We develop emotional literacy. We realize our intuition was never broken. It was just buried. All right. Sometimes coming home to yourself is not always soft and serene. It can mean feeling emotions you've avoided for a while. It can mean looking honestly at your patterns and, you know, sometimes even grieving what you've lost or outgrown. But it's where you begin to rebuild from a place of truth. So I'm just thinking of examples here. You know you're coming home to yourself when you no longer feel the need to justify your choices. You know, you stop asking what will people think and start asking, well, bollocks to that. You know, what feels right to me? You feel more grounded and you feel more you, even when life is messy. You just feel more you. So it's not a destination. It's just a practice, a relationship with yourself that you can keep nurturing with presence and kindness and curiosity. And just begin, okay, with those few tips that I've given you on each of those areas of disconnection. Just begin noticing where you've drifted and asking, you know, what am I really feeling? And beneath all of that, what am I really needing? So here are a few reflections, okay, some prompts that you can carry with you, even just into today. Where in my life do I feel most disconnected right now? Is it from myself? Is it from my body? Is it from my values, my relationships, or the world around me? So where in my life do I feel most disconnected right now? The next prompt is, well, what signals have I been ignoring? Is it tiredness? Is it anger? And what might they be trying to tell me? When was the last time I felt truly awake and present in my own life? And what were the circumstances surrounding that? What helped me get there? What created that feeling? Fourth question is, what's the one small act of reconnection I could try this week? And finally, the fifth question, a big question, what am I really thirsty for? What am I really thirsty for here? And how could I give that to myself without pouring a drink, okay? So look, thank you for being here. If this resonated, drop me a message. If you think someone else could use a little reconnection right now, please share this episode, okay? Until next time, take care, be kind to yourself, and I'll be back with another episode of The Big Drink Rethink. Thank you for listening and getting curious. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're choosing to listen. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode. And you can find out more about The Big Drink Rethink by heading to my website, thebeliefscoach.com. That's the beliefs, BELIEFS coach.com, where you will see clear links to the show.